to revamp its internal global security organization and prevent any recurrence of a crime like the Riso kidnapping, Exxon hired Joseph R. Carlin, a former assistant director for investigations and intelligence at the United States Secret Service. Soon, Exxon's senior executives enjoyed personal protection regimes similar to those of American presidential candidates or holders of high national office. If a board member participated in a confidential discussion by telephone in his or her home, corporate security vetted the caller's house guests and surveyed the number of telephone extensions to prevent anyone from sneaking onto the line. The corporation's revitalized safety and risk management drive increasingly took on the trappings of a cult. Exxon departments worldwide organized regular safety meetings and competitions. Groups of employees that had no reportable accidents or safety incidents might win gift cards to Walmart or blue safety jackets with the names of the winning employees stitched into the breast pockets. The prize-chasing worker collectives ensured that office clerks did not leave their file drawers open, lest someone bump against them. Failing to turn off a coffee pot might draw a written reprimand. Cars had to be backed into parking spaces, so that in case of an emergency, the driver could see clearly while speeding away and would not inadvertently injure colleagues. You would not believe the number of hours we listened to them talk about driving slowly in the parking garage, a former manager recalled. To discourage speeding down long plant driveways, the corporation installed electric signs linked to radar guns. Every meeting at every Exxon office, no matter the agenda and no matter the personnel assembled, had to begin with a safety minute, akin to a blessing before a meal, in which a randomly chosen employee would speak briefly about one safety issue or another. "Please take note of the exit sign in the hallway," the briefer might say, "and note that the stairway to the outdoor plaza lies to the left of the meeting room door." If a group of employees worked together for years in the same office and held a lot of meetings, it could be very difficult to come up with a fresh safety minute, and so the briefings could become as repetitive as the routines of commercial flight attendants before takeoff. Safety minutes gradually became commonplace at many corporations engaged in dangerous industrial operations, but few companies enforced them like Exxon. Chevron Corporation and British Petroleum later adopted the safety minute idea, and a scientist at one of the competitors reported to a friend at Exxon, "They've been assimilated into the Exxon Borg." Reportable injuries tracked in statistical reports would soon include food poisoning, bee stings, stapler pricks, and paper cuts. As one of the corporation's senior safety managers would later explain, "If we have a whole lot of paper cuts going on, we have to ask ourselves, well, what do we do to avoid paper cuts? Do we ask people to use gloves when they use the copying machine?" The group safety confessionals at Exxon offices and plants covered conduct beyond the workplace. The correct use of a ladder while cleaning gutters at home might be discussed, or the imperative of wearing seat belts during the daily commute, or the danger of getting too much sun on a beach vacation. At these meetings, employees stood and shared with their colleagues stories of near misses, as in a 12-step recovery program. One 28-year manager recalled listening to a colleague confess that an object had flown out of his lawnmower while he was cutting the grass at home and had struck him in the leg. On Exxon billboards, office walls, and corporate vehicles worldwide, the company would ubiquitously post a motto adopted from its oil drilling division: "Nobody gets hurt." In Africa, workers were required to submit to blood tests to prove that they had taken their anti-malarial medication, Malarone. If they failed the test, the workers could be fired and sent home on a plane ticket they paid for themselves. Particularly in poorer countries without traffic enforcement, if accidents became a chronic problem, Exxon would install electronic monitoring systems in its vehicles to track drivers' whereabouts remotely to ensure that they did not exceed the company's own imposed speed limit. Managers purchased radar guns and dispatched oil workers onto rudimentary clay African roads to monitor their colleagues' speeds. Drivers might be fired for a single violation.